Okay, so in our studio right now are two names that you probably know. One is Kevin Magnuson, the outgoing president of the Special Olympics here in Chicago and the co-chair of the 50th anniversary of Special Olympics in this fair city. Nice to meet you. Welcome.
Nice to meet you, John. Thanks for having me.
And sitting next to you is Illinois Supreme Court Justice Ann Burke, the founder of the Chicago Special Olympics. Justice Burke, welcome to the studio.
Well, thank you, John. Good afternoon.
What a pleasure to meet you in person. I know both of your names, and I know Magnuson, your dad, Keith, was with the Blackhawks. I used to not only enjoy watching him play, I enjoyed watching him just skate around the ice before he started to play. Nobody came out with more energy than he did.
That was his way to get not only his team going, but the crowd at the old Chicago Stadium going, and something that he was very proud to do. And, wearing the Blackhawk sweater for 11 years, just brought him great joy, and being a kid from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, to come to the big city and have a chance to play with Bobby Hull and Stan Mikita was a thrill of a lifetime.
So how did Special Olympics get started?
Well, John, back in 1965, I was a young phys ed teacher with the Park District.
And from Southern Illinois University?
No. In fact, I was a college dropout in 1965.
I thought I saw you see somewhere on
your
resume. Well,
you did. You saw that. It's very perceptive of you. In 65, we went to Southern Illinois University, the 10 teachers who volunteered to work with special needs kids, to get a four-day, how do you do this? Because at that time, there was no ADA, no special education, no recreation in the United States. I mean, children with special needs and adults were in institutions or they were in the closet. So it was actually no one was, you never saw anybody with special needs at that time in the 65. Of course, you're young, John, so you wouldn't remember that. But in 65, that's the way it was. So we had 10 parks. Kennedy Foundation gave $10,000 to start the program. And my kids did everything. I taught them to twirl baton, tap dance, swim, track and field, all of that, basketball, all the things I love to do. And they became great at it. The president of the Park District, Bill McFetridge, came out to the park. He said, how many kids like this live in the city? And at that time, in 65 to 67, no one knew in the United States or in the city of Chicago or the state of Illinois how many people with disabilities there were.
Think about what a leap it was. Sports weren't offered to women of any stripe, let alone people with some sort of developmental disability.
Correct.
The idea that you would also then embrace them, I'll bet people even worried about their health. Can they actually do this without injuring themselves? I mean, there must have been a whole host of hurdles.
Absolutely. Fortunately, I did not know that I couldn't do something. And nobody actually told me. People were just grateful that the kids were having fun, just like their other kids. Once we got more children to come to the park, and everybody realized they have more abilities than any kind of disabilities. We all have differences. So it was just like teaching basketball or tap dancing to anybody in a class. You come at different levels in the class.
So was the idea to sort of copy the Olympics?
Yes. McFetridge said, how do we find out how many people? And I said, well, the regular park program has a summer jamboree. We should have a citywide track meet. And that's when I called Dr. Freeberg from Southern Illinois University to consult with us. And if he thought this was a good idea, because he was the guru, then we were ready to go ahead. And he suggested that I write to Mrs. Shriver.
He was the guru of what?
Outdoor education and recreation.
Yeah. So then he says, reach out to the Kennedys?
He did. He was a former director of the Kennedy Foundation in the late 50s and early 60s. And he said, I bet Mrs. Shriver would like to do this. Why don't you write to her? So he helped me write the letter. I sent the letter. She wrote, called back and said, come on out to Washington.
How old are you at the time?
23. So don't start counting. I'll tell you how old I am now.
No, but I mean, I so appreciate the ambition on your part and the receptivity, whatever it is, how she was open to it, that she was willing to listen to you.
She was. She always was active with her sister Rosemary, and this was a new breakthrough, she felt, and was encouraged that the Chicago Park District, a huge park district program, was willing to take it on, and which we had already had 2 years under our belt working with the kids. So we had our first games July 20th, 1968, 1,000 children.
Was that a success?
Huge.
When did you know you had something? What was the moment? Did a lot of people sign up, or was it the crowd that showed up? When did that first year you go, wow?
There was no one in the stands. The only people that came were the special needs kids, the volunteers, and some Chicago Park District people to help us do the games. There was nobody. But you knew by being there and watching the kids and the parents that this was something special. And so did Mrs. Shriver, because when she was there and she saw that, she decided right then and there at the closing ceremony, she announced that she was going to take this national.
Hmm. The 50th anniversary in Chicago starts July 17th,
yes.
Right? We have activities not only at Soldier Field, but at Toyota Park, right? Is it throughout the city that we're going to be doing these things?
Yes, so from July 17th to the 19th, we're having a unified football cup, and unified play is a huge goal of Special Olympics. That's athletes with disabilities and athletes without disabilities playing together on the same team versus one another.
Will these be teams from Chicago or from around the world?
Chicago will definitely be represented, but then 25 countries are fielding teams and coming to Chicago next week.
Do they play their own competitive matches to get there? How does a team get formed?
Exactly. So they play their own matches to win the chance to be here next week in Chicago and play at the CIBC Fire Pitch. So that's July 17th to the 19th. And then the finals, the men's and women's finals, will be on July 20th at 5 p.m.
Has it always been integrated like that? People with disabilities and people that don't have disabilities?
This is a newer concept, but those with disabilities and non-disabilities have always played together, but it's never really been official until about 10 years ago where they really tried to push this program.
Do they sort of, how do you coordinate the scoring then? Wouldn't the able-bodied people be more adept at scoring and playing and competing, or not necessarily? Anna's shaking her head.
Not necessarily. You're right, because some of the Special Olympians are fantastic athletes. They've been working hard with their skill learning. Obviously, there's some differences, but that's the part of the unified team. Each has some abilities, and even able-bodied kids have some disabilities. There's a lot of differences. I mean, some are really good at catching and kicking, and some are not. So.
Well, it's a literal and a representative sort of integration then, isn't it?
Yes.
As much as we want them to be part of society and society to be part of them, so too will we integrate them on the playing field, not isolate them. I presume that's the idea.
That's exactly the idea. And the younger that occurs, as the theory goes, yeah, then it just becomes everyday life.
What sort of disabilities are we talking about? I mean,
Well, first of all, mental disabilities. And there's accompanying that, there's often a lot of physical disabilities. You have to have, a mental disability to be in Special Olympics.
So then there's, I know what that means, but I don't know exactly how that happens.
Well, all are different. I mean, we all do have different IQs and differences in, it's just in the room right here we're in is that we're different and we have disabilities. I'm dyslexic, but I'm able to do what I do. Doesn't mean I can't learn to do what I'm doing. And if the younger you get, or you are, and learn how to cope with some of these things and excel, you can do things.
You said a moment ago you were a college dropout at one point?
Yes.
I presume you went back.
I did, but after I had my family.
Yeah.
I didn't go back until after I was married and had three children.
Was the dyslexia that which kept you from getting an education on a four-year path?
Yeah, but I didn't know then. In the 60s or the 40s or the 50s.
Yeah.
I just was a C student. Not that that's a bad thing, but it took me forever to read. I wrote backwards. I read backwards the whole nine yards. I still do that, but I've learned. I was diagnosed when I was an adult.
Huh.
After all of that. And then after I had our fourth child, I went to law school. So when I started law school, I had four kids under 10.
So have you been involved in Special Olympics the entire run then from its inception?
Yes.
You have not left it. And then when did you come into it? When did you get involved?
So my dad passed away in 2003, unfortunately. But really, Special Olympics has been part of my life since day one. My dad was at the third ever Special Olympics Games in Chicago. Stan Mikita grabbed my dad and Cliff Coral.
Wow, really?
And my dad was, one afternoon with the athletes, he was hooked. And
I wonder why. I mean, what is it that makes this connection for people?
It's a contagious affection.
Really?
I mean, you feel that these individuals have been deprived, as other vulnerable people in our society have not been mainstreamed, and they should have been. And so it's contagious. And once you help and they learn and the skills, and Kevin's dad, of course, he was the MC for all our Chicago games in Soldier Field for all the years until he passed.
What are the sports that the kids play now, or adults, but what are the sports that we see? Is there soccer, track and field, what else?
bocce ball, 50-meter dash. Like you said, track and field is huge. Basketball, floor hockey, flag football is an up-and-coming sport. Golf, tennis.
So venues throughout the city, then, these are taking place?
Exactly. Huge support from the Chicago Park District makes it happen.
Huh. So we're going to get this influx of people, I guess, what, any day now?
Maybe
some of them are already here.
Yes.
How many people will be in Chicago for the 50th anniversary of Special Olympics?
Well, we're hoping thousands.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Athletes, fans, friends, family members.
Yes.
And then the volunteers throughout the Chicago area that are doing
and around
it.
The country, the CEOs of all the state Special Olympic programs. Italy, we were in Rome 2 weeks ago now. The Italian Special Olympic team had an audience with the Pope, and I was there. And the Pope lit a flame to have them bring their torch to Chicago, because that may be the only Italian team that's going to win a World Cup unified soccer match. And so he said, win in Chicago.
In fact, are we going to have an eternal flame then?
Yes.
For Special Olympics at Soldier Field?
Yes. The Richard Hunt, a Chicago-born sculptor who is the most commissioned sculptor in the United States, grew up in Inglewood. Has been commissioned to do the most beautiful eternal flame you've ever seen. It's good 30 feet high. It's going to be on McFetridge Boulevard between Field Museum and the north end of Soldier Field. And it's going to be lit by a flame that's been taken from Hyannisport yesterday to Chicago. It was started in Hyannisport, and it's going to be brought to Chicago from the Kennedy compound and lit in Chicago.
Justice Ann Burke's in our studio. Kevin Magnuson is too. He is the outgoing president of Special Olympics here. Okay, so a couple of points about how you want to see this. You want to do this? You want to check it out? We'll get to that next on WGN. And Burke is in our studio. Kevin Magnuson is too. He's the outgoing president of Special Olympics. Ann's been there all along since its founding. Go to SpecialOlympics50.org. That's 50. SpecialOlympics50.org to find out what's going on in Chicago. Starting September 17th at Toyota Park, downtown Chicago, they're actually going to have, are they going to have a torch run with the flame too, Kevin? Are you guys going to do that?
So the law enforcement, local law enforcement, and actually from all around the country are going to run 2 miles starting at 39th Street to Soldier Field. And they're going to pass the torch amongst many police officers on their way to Soldier Field, culminating with them lighting the eternal flame of hope on July 20th at 1 p.m.
And that flame, which we talked about before the break, there's not currently a Special Olympics eternal flame at Soldier Field, but we will have one after this for years and years to come.
Eternal, hopefully.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, congratulations to you guys. If I want to attend, I presume, is there a charge and admission to go see some of the events?
There is not. They're all free events outside of the concert, which is the final celebration on July 21st. We're having a concert at Northerly Island. Chance the Rapper is producing and performing with Usher, Smokey Robinson, OAR, Jason Mraz, to name a few. So
are you kidding me?
Really star-studded.
Are you kidding me?
Concert. Really happy about that.
That's funny because I've seen OAR at Northerly Island before. So I don't know who these other guys are that you just mentioned. I do. But what a lineup. Good for you guys. Okay, so the 17th of July. So we're a week away from, I guess, if you happen to be going down the road and you see some police officers running with a torch, or if you see folks heading to Toyota, what is it, Pavilion? What do we
call it? Toyota Park.
Toyota Park, yeah. Mm-hmm. This is what this will all be about. Remember, Special Olympics 50. SpecialOlympics50.org is the website to stay abreast of all of this. Congratulations to you both.
Thank you.
I'm looking forward to this. And, boy, I hope you get a good crowd, too, right?
It's very important because this movement has changed the world. You know, there's 172 countries that have participated in Special Olympics from just in 50 years, changing the stigma against people with disabilities. It's amazing that this kind of movement has occurred. And it's because you said before, how do you get involved? It's because it's a contagious affection. Once you are involved, it's like Kevin's not finished just because he's not president. He's going to be forced, but not forced, but he is emeritus. He's always going to be involved, and his wife and his son, Gunnar, are going to be involved. Everybody's family has been involved. And they can't, you can't help it because we haven't done enough yet. We still have long-term residential care for these individuals. After they max out of school in the Board of Education, after they're age 22, they have no place to go the rest of their life unless it's a park or a special recreation program or Special Olympics. So we have, as a society, a lot to do yet.
Where's the pendulum on care and help for people like this in this country right now?
It's minuscule. Everything has been taken away from long-term residential care. There's no money for people. These children's parents, they get older, their parents pass away, and there's no place for them to go. So this is what we need to do, is to think about this in the future. And raising the awareness through our 50th anniversary, we hope we'll do that.
SpecialOlympics50.org, SpecialOlympics50.org. Both of you, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Well done.